Hello, Jets fans. Welcome back for another episode of Jets Wired. As always, I am your host, Tyler Talverso, and I am joined today by fellow Jets Wired writer, Anthony Talverso. And how you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right, Tyler. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Just got off work. Time to talk some Jets. And, you know, for the first time in a while, I could honestly say I'm excited for some preseason football. There's a lot of buzz surrounding this team. There's a lot of position battles to keep an eye on. And, hey, I'm excited to see Sam Darnold live in action.
I cannot tell you how much I feel the same way. I'm actually going to the game on Friday, and I'm going to tell you firsthand it's going to be an experience. I mean, the kid's showing a lot of promise, and obviously we're going to get into it, but there's a lot to hold the season coming up here, and we'd love to see him progress definitely this preseason.
I think one thing that, you know, definitely you're going to keep an eye on while you're out there, and that we're all going to keep an eye on while we're at home is Sam has actually run into a couple of rough days of practice for the first time. You know, he got off to such a hot start, and now he's run into a little bit of that rookie wall early on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of what we're seeing is that those deep passes are what's getting them. I mean, J.J. Wilcox has been making some plays, and listen, that's a great thing for the Jets defense, especially since he was a late signing. But you obviously want to see a little bit more accuracy and some better decision-making out of a rookie quarterback. But at the same time, it's good to see that he's testing the field and he's seeing where he can get away with certain things. And hopefully this is the only time he makes those kind of mistakes, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, well, we got confirmation from head coach Todd Bowles that all three quarterbacks are going to see action. Just like all last preseason, McCown will probably see a series at most. And it is going to be kind of insightful to see how Bowles splits up the reps between Bridgewater and Darnold. You know, they've kind of been seeing even reps first team, second team wise so far in camp, and now they're going up against the Falcons. I think Bridgewater's going to be the guy to get more reps to start, and then Darnold will end out the game.
Yeah, I definitely think that right now between second and third string, as much as Bowles does want to keep it quiet and in-house, I mean, it's so much closer than any of us can really tell. And obviously, looking at preseason going forward is going to be a huge tell of his hand right now. I mean, we have to see how both those quarterbacks play.
I definitely agree with you about being a lot closer than people think. Because, you know, we all see it on Twitter. Darnold's getting all the hype with all the good things he's doing right, all the little things he's getting right, how he's progressing so fast. And, you know, Bridgewater has had some rough moments, but at the same time, he's been pretty solid, and he's pushing for the job.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy, the thing about Teddy that everybody forgets is that, I mean, he was more than just a viable option at quarterback for the Vikings. I mean, up until the injury that saw him go down, I mean, everybody thought he was the future of Minnesota. So you have to look at a guy like that, and you have to give him every opportunity to prove himself. At the end of the day, the New York Jets are not going to be able to ride off into the sunset with Josh McCown. As much as we love what we've seen out of him, and we would love to see consistent production out of a veteran like him, he's not the future of the franchise. But you can't be naive either. I mean, the Jets are looking for the future, and as much as you've invested in Sam Darnold, and as much as we want to see him succeed, Teddy Bridgewater very well could be that gap guy for now. I mean, if Sam Darnold needs the year, needs some time to develop, there's no shame in having a guy on the roster that you already paid that could definitely be serviceable for the season.
Exactly. I feel like there's this mindset that, oh, Darnold needs to play year one or else there's something wrong. We have a guy like Bridgewater on the roster who has flashed so much potential in the past. There's really nothing wrong with Darnold taking that year to grasp everything and come along slowly.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly see a very similar situation over in Baltimore right now. I mean, everybody's talking about the hype of these rookie quarterbacks. It doesn't matter where you are. It could be Cleveland, Buffalo. I mean, forget it. But the point is that Lamar Jackson, everybody wants to see him take the field. Sam Darnold, everybody wants to see him take the field. But who's the middle of those guys? I mean, Joe Flacco's not going to play forever. Josh McCown's not going to play forever. RG3 sits in the middle. Teddy Bridgewater sits in the middle. What is the shame with having these guys already paid, already on your roster, and letting those rookies kind of sit back a little bit, you know, see the game from an outside perspective, learn from these veterans, these guys who have done it for years already, and then come into the season when they do get their shot and be that much better for it.
You know, we could sit here all night and talk about the quarterback competition. You know, week one of the preseason, it's going to work itself out. It'll provide us with a little more insight. But we got to talk about some other battles going on. You know, Chris Herndon shining at tight end, Trenton Cannon at running back. Two guys who are young, and they're really coming on quicker than anyone expected.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely said that nail on the head. I mean, Chris Herndon, if it wasn't for that MCL injury during midseason, I don't even know if the Jets would ever have had a shot at him. I mean, especially considering that we traded away the second round pick, or the both second round picks, excuse me, that we had to Indianapolis. So Herndon very well could have seen his name come off the board even earlier. So having a guy like that and already impressing in camp, I mean, the guy's hands, his athletic ability, they're definitely liking what they see out of him. But even a bigger shock, Trenton Cannon, like you said. I mean, Elijah McGuire going down, obviously no Jet fan wants to see it. It showed a lot of promise last year, was going to get the reps this offseason. But you can't help but think that Trenton Cannon is really benefiting from this situation.
Yeah, and Cannon has been handed such a golden opportunity. You know, Sam and I touched on this last week. You never want to see a guy go down like McGuire. But it's not even that. You have a veteran in Thomas Rawls who has really, he's done stuff in this league, and he's just squandering the chance, and Canada's taking full opportunity.
Yeah, what I honestly really like to see, and it's just the way that the NFL is moving. I mean, the ground game isn't the same ground game that we watched years ago. I mean, these backs, the ones who are getting the big money, the ones that we always talk about, whether it be Bell, whether it be Gurley, even David Johnson in Arizona, is a thing that these guys can do. Is they can do everything. They're good blockers. They can run the ball. But what they really excel at is being able to be used in the passing game. And a guy like Trenton Cannon with that, with his hands, his speed, he's apparently getting looks everywhere on the field, but he is being utilized in the passing game. And that's something the Jets haven't really done a lot of. So being able to do that moving forward could really change and open up this offense.
I think his hands out of the backfield have really surprised everyone within the organization. I think when Maccagnan took him, he was looking, hey, late round guy, come in and help with the return game, an area where we haven't had much. And for the second straight year, they've lucked out with a late round running back who's really flashed their complete skill set.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, definitely brought in for the return woes. I mean, we've been looking for a guy forever. I mean, you can go back to taking flyers on people midseason. We've definitely been looking for that guy. And there's no doubt about it. Trenton Cannon absolutely could still be that guy. But the fact that you've taken such a late pick and turned it into something of value already, it just blows my mind. I'm really hoping that he can continue to improve on the already impressing offseason and preseason now that he's going to have, and hopefully can continue on Friday against the Falcons.
You know, we've talked about two guys who have really stood out in Cannon and Herndon, but what has happened to Chad Hansen? Somehow he's back behind Ardarius Stewart on the depth chart. After a spring where it looked like he was going to be the number four wide receiver, barring Terrell Pryor coming back from injury and blowing everyone away.
Yeah, it's a questionable decision, I think, honestly, on Bowles' behalf, because Chad Hansen, the number one thing that he had going for him coming out of the draft was his route running ability. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, no disrespect to the guys ahead of him on the depth chart. I definitely want to see Anunmo back there on the field. Robbie Anderson is a speedster. Hopefully he can continue the great season he had last year. And then you definitely want a guy like Terrell Pryor to pan out. But the thing is that, especially for if it's going to be a young quarterback out there, let's say Sam Darnold does get thrown out there, having somebody who can kind of shore up the short to medium levels of the field, a guy like Chad Hansen, where that's where he excels, it very well could help him. It could help a young rookie quarterback. And you got guys like Pryor who, you know, at times for his size and his hands, definitely a red zone target, but he hasn't shown a lot in his route running ability. And the only other guys really on the team who have is maybe a guy like Jermaine Kearse. Quincy Enunwa was able to do it. But Robbie and Pryor are kind of those deep threat guys right now. So Chad Hansen, to me at least, would be almost a safety net for a young quarterback. And I would like to see him get reps on the field, and I think he will. But I think it's going to take a little bit more time to develop in this preseason, and hopefully he'll get that opportunity to show it.
I'm with you when it comes to Hansen on the route tree, because he has such a diverse route tree. He showed it at Cal. He gets it done underneath, over the top. And just having a guy like that lined up in the slot or lined up outside, it's, as you mentioned, it's so helpful for a rookie quarterback to just have that to fall back on, a guy who knows how to run the routes, how to get open, and knows the most efficient way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely want to see him out there on the field, and we will see him out there on the field. It's just, like you said, I mean, it's a little concerning right now, I guess would be a good word to use, to see him slip on the depth chart And, I mean, once again, no disrespect to the other guys on there. I mean, even our Darius Stewart, I would love to see a great year out of Stewart. But you have to, like you said, I mean, such promise was coming out of this preseason for Chad Hansen, and you just really want to see him get back on track.
One guy who isn't going to be on the field for the Jets against the Falcons is Kelvin Beachum at left tackle. And, you know, in the past, Beachum has had a little bit of injury history. I'm not too concerned about it, but I've seen on social media some reactions. Some people are starting to get concerned about Beachum moving forward, his ability to stay healthy, and what that's going to mean for the left tackle position and the offensive line moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Beachum is one of those guys that we need out on the field. There's no doubt about it. And like you said, I mean, personally, I'm not too concerned at the moment. I'll be more concerned if the coaching staff decides to make comments on it going forward. But for right now, that offensive line, even though it looks like there's a lot of moving pieces, and there are, but they're locking it up. They made it a priority to go out and get a few guys, even at center with Swanson and guys who have done it in this league. I think that the Jets are heading in the right direction. They're looking for a way to lock it up. And although the Beachum concerns definitely should be highlighted right now, it's one of those things that it really can't raise too much of a red flag until we see more going forward.
Exactly. It's definitely a little bit of an overreaction in the sense that Beachum is a veteran. He knows his body. The coaching staff isn't going to run him out there in week one of preseason if he's not 100%. That's the bottom line. They're not going to run out one of their veteran starters like that. And some fans just really need to realize that if you play in the preseason, it's not make or break.
It really is the truth. I mean, we're going to talk about it going forward, definitely, with them against the Falcons. But, I mean, look at Atlanta. If you really just want to compare it to the closest opponent that we're going to have, look at Atlanta. They have so many positions locked up, and there's no doubt about it. And they're not concerned about who's playing because those positions are locked up. If you're the Jets moving forward, you know Beachum is that starter. You don't need to test him out there. You don't need to see who's behind him at the moment. But you're going to see who's behind him because he's not going to be out on the field. So you know what? If anything, it's a good test to see the depth that we have moving forward and see who is serviceable. God forbid Beachum isn't there week one.
You know, you talk about positions that are locked down for the Falcons, and the Jets have some of those in their own right. But as we all know by now, the outside linebacker spot is not one of those positions that's locked down. And David Bass also will not be playing. But that's actually noteworthy because that's going to open up some more reps for Lorenzo Maldon and Dylan Donahue to showcase what they have. And Donahue is going to make the team, but Maldon really finds himself in some danger.
Yeah, I don't even know if you've watched it or not. I caught a glimpse of it today, but One Jets Drive, I've been keeping up on it myself. And they did a little highlight there on Maldon. And, you know, it really is a shame because although, I mean, he didn't have the production, obviously, that they originally thought that he could have, but he was growing year to year. I mean, and ironically enough, picking off Josh McCown, the quarterback now of the New York Jets, stealing the win there in that game against the Browns. He's taken down Brady. I mean, I was at a game where he had a vicious hit on Ryan Tannehill against the Dolphins. And, I mean, there were times where you could see that potential in Maldon. And now coming off the injury, it is definitely concerning. But I think that because the Jets are in such need for a pass rusher, they're willing to take certain gambles on these players for now. Hopefully Maldon locks it up and he can show in preseason he's still got that first step. But it's one of those things that we're going to have to look at going forward because there's no certainty there and there hasn't been any certainty there. So the Jets really need to just keep an eye on it, develop the players they feel like they can, and hopefully get their hands on somebody in the offseason or by draft in the future that can make a difference as well.
Moving from on the field to off it, this Jamal Adams Q&A that came out yesterday on Bleacher Report. Really great stuff. I want to get your thoughts on it. What was your first opinion of it after you read it?
Well, first things first. I mean, you cannot be a leader unless you're born with it. I strictly believe that. And he was absolutely born to play this role for the New York Jets. I mean, walking into a locker room where people, well, by his quotes, people weren't necessarily motivated. They were used to the losing culture. And to be able to say that you had a factor to turn it around, for me, I mean, I'm already going to quote Jarvis Landry over here from Hard Knocks, is that it's contagious. You know, it really is. The behavior of your teammates, the behavior of your locker room is contagious to everybody else. If there's one person, just like Jamal Adams said, if there's three people in that locker room who are of the mindset that I can be great, but there's 50 other people on the roster that aren't, it's those three guys, it doesn't matter. And it's vice versa. You need all 53 guys. You need the coaching staff. You need management above. I mean, going all the way up to McKagan and beyond. I mean, you need everybody to believe that this team can turn it around. This team can be great. And I thought Jamal Adams had a fantastic interview, and I thought it proved to these people who are skeptical about the first, second-round safeties now going into their sophomore year, I think that it proves to these people that not only are they willing to take on the challenge of leading a defense, they're more than capable of doing it. I mean, that mentality is something that is going to drive their teammates and hopefully lead to a good season for the Jets.
You know, forget about the fact that Adams was an elite safety prospect coming out of LSU. When McKagan took him, you knew it was one of those culture change type picks. You knew we had the mindset. You knew we had the alpha dog personality. And when I interviewed Matt Forte last year, we were talking about Jamal for a little. That didn't say a single thing about his ability. All he did was talk about how naturally he fit in as a leader, how from day one he was comfortable. And I loved his comments about, you know, some guys who weren't necessarily all in last season. Because we all know who those guys were. And they're not here right now. And rightfully so. And, you know, it's just, it's a prime example of the culture change that has really taken place within the past year. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and definitely you could look at it and say that it's an interview. He's going to say what he thinks he needs to say. But for me, I buy into Jamal Adams. I really do. He's the kind of guy who he's going to give it to you straight, and he's going to give it to you straight because he wants things a certain way. And when asked if there was still that attitude, that behavior in the locker room of a losing culture, he said it's gone, and he's happy that it's gone. And I believe it. I really do. And especially with the additions of, like, Tremaine Johnson, for one. Tremaine Johnson doesn't want to be a guy who started out in his career losing with St. Louis, now Los Angeles Rams, losing with that team to having a fantastic season last year. He doesn't want to regress. He wants to be a part of that similar culture. And I think him coming here and Jamal Adams having the attitude that he does, these DBs are really going to embrace the whole New Jack City mentality. They want to change the culture in New York, and you have to want it. It's the only way that it's going to happen.
Exactly. And, you know, like you mentioned with Johnson, even though he did spike the money when he signed to the Jets, he wasn't going to go to a team where he wasn't going to be able to win consistently. And just having a guy like Adams early in the fold, who getting into his second year has already proved himself as a leader, it's really his progression, how fast he's come along. It bodes well for the future, not only of the secondary, but as the whole defense. You know, Darren Lee is another guy who's going to step up and be a leader this year. When you have two guys like Lee and Adams who really, you know, they can lead a defense, it just makes life so much easier for Todd Bowles.
Oh, for sure. And I think that Todd Bowles, you have to have a certain level of confidence in a guy like Darren Lee. I mean, especially people after his rookie year were saying, listen, I mean, he's maybe an average linebacker, but he didn't show that first-round potential. And not for nothing, I mean, he's definitely going to be thrust into a role where it's going to be a make-or-break year for Darren Lee. I personally see the value in Lee, and I think that Jordan Jenkins as well, being later off in the draft, showed that he has a little bit more of a first step than people thought, and he's definitely serviceable in especially the run game. But I think that Darren Lee is going to be one of those guys who really needs to step it up this year. And beyond that, for you, I guess I could even ask, how do you feel about this defensive line going forward? Because obviously Leonard Williams is here. He's here to stay, hopefully for longer than this year if we can get an extension worked out, but he's not concerned about it, he's reported. But guys like Steve McClendon, obviously Mike Pinnell is still there. They brought in a few other guys like Henry Anderson. They drafted. How do you feel like this defensive line is going to be able to handle the season going forward?
I'm not as concerned as I was at first entering training camp. I think Nathan Shepard and the way he's played once the pads have gone have helped to ease my concerns. And I really think that the duo of Shepard and Anderson as a rotation – could be really great, because with Anderson, you got to keep in mind, this is a guy who has been productive in his career, but health has been an issue. So if you could get him in on a rotational basis where maybe he's not seeing as many reps, he's sharing the field with Shepard, he can maybe stay healthy a little bit more, I think you could see his production tick up a little bit too.
No, I definitely agree with you, and I think that'd be a great idea for Todd Bowles moving forward. Just a guy like that, exactly, with injury concerns, when you've already brought in all these pieces, and odds are the majority of these pieces are making the 53-man roster, is that you're going to have to move guys around at times, and why not necessarily limit, but like you said, work in other guys with Anderson, because if you can get him over a stretch of 16 games, odds are he is going to be productive on the year, and he's going to turn some heads.
Exactly, and I think one guy that we really need to keep an eye on, an interior defensive lineman, who we haven't really talked about a lot, is Foley Fadakasi. He's gotten some first-team reps. He performed well with those reps. And like you said, we all know Steve McClendon's the guy. He's a leader on the line. But with Fadakasi and Mike Pennell providing some depth at that position, like I said, my personal outlook on the Jets defensive line, it is improving with what I've seen so far in training camp.
Yeah, and Fadakasi for sure is one of those guys, like you said, we have to look at going forward. I mean, I'm looking for somebody to just stuff up the middle of that line, like back in the day with Snacks, Damon Harrison. I mean, there are people that were drastically upset when we decided to let him go to the dark side of New York, you know, to the Giants. But I think that with all the serviceable pieces that they're going to have on this defensive line, I think it's going to lock up that run game, and hopefully with guys like Henry Anderson and in the addition of Shepard, we're going to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterbacks going forward, because it's exactly what the defense needs.
All right, you know, Jets fans, it's that time. Before we close this out, we got a game coming up finally. It's time for predictions. And give me a score prediction, and give me one guy who you think is really going to stand out on Friday night.
Score prediction. Well, as I said in my article, there are going to be so many factors going into this, but one of them is that the Falcons are not necessarily playing this game with the intensity the Jets will because of all the position battles, just the honest to God truth. So if I had to make a prediction going forward, I would probably say a score of 24-17 might be about right there in the Jets' favor. And one player to stand out, I really don't want to go with the prototypical answer, but I have to say Sam Darnold. And I really do believe that Sam Darnold understands where he is right now and knows that he needs a quality preseason to get him on the field. And if that is what it is going to take, you are going to see a guy like Sam Darnold do everything he can to impress. And I personally believe he will.
Love it. And that's all we have time for this week, guys. And thanks for joining me, man. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter, Aunt Tal. I mean, you can even find me on Instagram, guys. I mean, pretty much the exact same thing. I would love to hear what you have to say about the Jets. And we can always have a conversation on social media. Would love to have you.
All right, guys. Looking forward to get back at this next week. We're going to have a recap of the game and some other great stuff. Until then, keep listening.